Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio News Update. Sad news from the world of baseball as Frank Robinson has passed away today at the age of 83. Frank was MLB's first black manager and is the only player to win the MVP award in both leagues. It's a huge loss today, and we'll not talk to Gabe about that, who knew Frank personally from his days in Montreal. Also in baseball, the Phillies have landed all-star catcher JT Realmuto. We've been waiting for this one to happen. The Marlins, in return, get catcher Jorge Alfalo. Two pitching prospects in an international bonus spot as well. The NBA wheelings and dealings heating up today, guys. So much things going on. My fingers are burning on the keyboard. The Raptors are getting Marc Gasol in exchange for Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second round pick. Gasol is 34 years old, a three-time NBA All-Star, Defensive Player of the Year in 2013 in 53 games. This year, he's averaging 15.7 points, 8.6 rebounds, 4.7 assists, and he's also almost a 35% three-point shooter as well. The Raptors sending Greg Monroe to Brooklyn, a small deal as well. This one's a little bit interesting. The Sixers have been the busiest team around the deadline. They've shipped guard Markelle Fultz to Orlando. The Sixers are going to receive Jonathan Simmons, first-round pick, a second-round pick. Fultz was the number one overall pick in 2017 draft, and just in, we haven't had any confirmations, but it looks like the Magic might flip Fultz too, so stay tuned. This trade deadline over at 3 officially, but deals can keep on rolling in. The Pelicans, they did nothing for AD, but they did trade forward Nikolai Mirotic to the Bucks. New Orleans going to receive Bucks big man Jason Smith, Pistons wingman Stanley Johnson, and 4 second-round picks. Anthony Davis says he intends to play every single game, quote-unquote, for New Orleans to end this season after not being traded today. And I'll tell you, Morenci, not good stuff there. This guy could walk at the end of the year, and it looks like they're going to get nothing. So they should have taken that deal with the Lakers, but the Pelicans sleep at the switch. New York Knicks,
no,
they're releasing...
And what's up, Cam? He's under contract
for next
year as well.
One more year, but it's
they'll trade him in the offseason. They'll trade him in the offseason. They have to hope he doesn't break his leg.
Yeah.
Between now and then.
Excellent point. New York Knicks going to release Enes Kanter.
Now the bidding can get real, right? Like teams where hands were tied and stuff. Like a good example is, let's just state Kawhi Leonard. Let's say Kawhi Leonard leaves Toronto, tells Toronto, I'm leaving. Suddenly the Raptors, you know, and Gasol makes a lot of money. So suddenly Raptors have all this money. They could be in play, right? Like, there'll be a lot more teams. The Pelicans just didn't want to be forced to inherit the Lakers. And even though it seemed like cosmetically a good deal, if you think about it, they basically would have had the Laker team minus LeBron James. And team kind of sucks. That team kind of sucks. So,
excellent point.
I can see where they were thinking with that. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. We're not done yet. Enes Kanter going to be released from the Knicks. That, according to Waj from ESPN, the Knicks also going to grant Wesley Matthews that buyout. But they plan to keep DeAndre Jordan. But Matthews, if he clears waivers, he'll be expected to sign with the Indiana Pacers. Gabe, I also got updated future odds in the NBA after the deadline. We got to go over this. Warriors, the favorite, 2-5. Celtics, 10-1. Raptors, 10-1. Sixers, 10-1. Bucks, 10-1. Rockets are 12-1. Thunder, 16. Nuggets, 30. And the Jazz are 40-1. NBA sked tonight. We got 6 games. Craziness with the trade deadline. Medium night tonight. Clippers at Indiana. Pacers minus 7, 216 there. Minnesota at Orlando. Magic minus 2, 215.5. Toronto and Atlanta. Raptors 8.5-point road faves there, 234.5. A nice rivalry in the good old days. Not so much anymore, but Lakers in Boston. Celtics 8.5, 227. Memphis at Oklahoma City. Thunder big favorites, minus 14, 213. And Portland hosting San Antonio. The Blazers minus 5.5, 226. And we got some NFL news. Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray will attend the NFL combine, and his decision to play in the NFL or NBA, we don't know, it still looms. He's on the list of athletes that will attend February 26th, the 9th overall selection in the 2018 MLB draft by Oakland, and he won the Heisman Trophy with the Sooners this year. We'll see what happens.
He'll do the pro day thing. Yep. The kid's got everyone by the balls, essentially, right?
The Athletics
make a decision,
already,
buddy.
The Athletics already paid him, so it's not like they won't just wait. Like, they'll be like, oh, great. But if he just shows up in June or something and says, all right, I want to play baseball, they're not going to tell him to go screw off, and he knows it. And he can sort of feel out the NFL about where he's going to go, right? But, you know, I said it. Like, we talked about it, dude. Like, you know, he seems small to me, but teams are buying in, and it looks like he would be a top 10 pick. So doesn't matter
we'll
what you
happens.
Are, I think.
No, it doesn't. Well, he is small. Small quarterbacks have made it, but he's really small. And interesting stuff, the Chiefs have told star quarterback Pat Mahomes, please don't play anymore pickup basketball. He had a video where it went viral there with the Chiefs brass phoned Mahomes' agent and said, no, we don't want him playing any more hoops. But that's not in his contract. Mahomes threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in his sophomore season with the Chiefs. Lots of action tonight, and we have a good leaderboard in golf right now, too. Dustin Johnson's only two shots off the pace. I'm Cam Stewart. We got so much to talk to about today. Big sports day here. NBA trade deadline and a whole lot more. I'm Cam Stewart. He's Morenci. This is Red Heat and Rage. What a Thursday, everybody. Stay tuned.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network. Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage, our radio. And just for the record, gang, the levels seem to get lower and lower by the day. But that's another story. Crank it up, gang. Crank that up. Now, I know we got George. I think it's George in the studio, actually. So is George still there, actually, gang?
Yeah, he is.
All right. Maybe, as you know, we actually have our head tech guy in the studio at time. Yeah, like basically, you know, the levels are way low. Like whatever the music, the ins, the outs, specifically the music. The commercials are a little better, but we can barely hear the music, which causes us a problem when we're trying to go out to breaks because I step over it all the time because I can't hear it. And if I crank everything up, then I get crazy ass echo. So. I'm glad our main man, George, he looks like John Lennon. He has the hat and the glasses, and I told him it's dangerous to walk the streets looking like John Lennon in New York City. Didn't end well for him.
No, it did not. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't end well for John. May he rest in peace. I actually remember when it happened. Like I remember like my mother started crying, and I came on the radio.
Well, a lot of people were crying.
Yeah, and of course, it was on Monday Night Football. Later in the day. So speaking of passings, actually, Frank Robinson, as Cam alluded to, Frank Robinson passed away, 83 years old, first African-American manager in pro baseball, which is a pretty big thing. Like Jackie Robinson is one thing, like, you know, broke the color barrier. But, you know, even now, you know what I mean? There's still that, you know, black coaches don't get a fair shake. And there's not, you know, there's not a ton of them, actually. And to think about it, that this guy was a black manager in 1976, mid-70s. And then, of course, I got to know him as he was the manager of the San Francisco Giants, the Baltimore Orioles, and the Montreal Expos. And, of course, as Cam alluded to, too, real badass. I mean, you know, you're the first black manager, but also, oh, yeah, you're also the only dude ever to win the most valuable player in both leagues. Like the American head. National League.
Exactly.
Hell of a baseball player. And I got to know him. He was the manager of the Montreal Expos, and I was doing the post-game show. So I spent many days and hours talking to Frank Robinson. We'll share some of the stories that he shared with us. Game time decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We'll be right back.
Game Time Decision. Red Heat Rager Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Morency. Alongside Cam Stewart. We're in Manhattan slash Jersey right now, actually, right on the side of the Hudson. On a pretty pretty nice afternoon, actually, in New York City. It's about 40 degrees or so. Yesterday was actually like 62 degrees, but it's cooled up just a little bit. But it's much much chillier where the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, is in Toronto, home of the Raptors. We'll get into this Gasol talk a little bit. We'll see what Whale Capper thinks about some basketball futures. And we got the Daily Roto crew coming on a little bit later on. We'll talk about tonight's DFS, and we'll get into Frank Robinson passing away a little bit. I actually see it is trending on Twitter, at least New York trends. Yeah, real legend, Frank Robinson. And I got a lot of crazy stories, man, about him. And a few, actually, that, you know, I was thinking I might put in my book. Well, I'm going to finish my book. But I was like, yeah. You know, and I'm not going to say that. some things I left out. We'll put it this way. Frank Robinson introduced me to Bill Cosby. All right, that's you know, when I had Bill Cosby on Sports Rage, it was because of Frank Robinson. Like Frank Robinson, like introduced me. Like he was like, hey, Bill, like do the one-on-one interview with this guy type thing. So, anyways, I'll get to that later. Let's bring in Whale Capper, where the weather is a little bit warmer in Long Beach. Whale Capper, what's up, Whale Capper?
How we doing, man?
So, good stuff, Will Capper. It's always a pleasure, man. So, how does it feel? I saw your name was linked to the Pelicans, actually. LeBron wants to trade you from L.A., too.
Oh, man. What a mess. What a mess in L.A. Although,
Lonzo Ball, yeah. Kyle Kuzma. Brandon Ingram, and Will Capper.
Yes. I love New Orleans. Sign me up, man. No, in seriousness, the Lakers, you know, they did their best, apparently. It's pretty obvious that the Pelicans kind of, you know, either by, you know, having this plan all along or people kind of got in their ear, you know, have been convinced to wait until the offseason, which makes the most sense for them. I get that. You know, I don't think that any offer that they were going to get at this trade deadline with kind of a week's to prepare after Anthony Davis made his statement, I want to get traded. I don't think it was going to be as good as what they can get if they can get a couple teams in a bidding war this offseason. And the Lakers never really had the pieces. You know, the Lakers never really had the parts that were going to make any team especially satisfied. You know, the Pelicans are in a dreadful situation. They're going to trade away a franchise piece, you know, a top five player in the league. And there's like 0.0 evidence of that ever working out in the benefit of the team that is giving away the player. You almost always are getting back 30 cents on the dollar. And, you know, so I guess credit to them, you know, doing their best to try to get as many assets as possible. But, you know, they're in a losing situation here, no matter what, as far as I can tell you. And, you know, and LeBron, man, whew, he is striking out getting guys to L.A. with him, and I guess
it's not a good look.
Look what he does, Whale Capper. He alienates guys on the team before. He bitches at them, sits down on the bench. Like, who's this guy doing? Like, you know, do you want to go play with a guy like that? You're losing, and he doesn't. Guy sits like 10 feet away from you. Like, I'm done with his act.
Think about it. Like, when you're a Laker, all right, in the off season, all right, you're Brandon Ingram, you're Kyle Kuzma, you're Lonzo Ball. You're like, man, we got LeBron James. That's awesome, man. You know what I mean? Like, wow, this is big league stuff now. This is real. And now imagine, like, you know, imagine, like, just a month ago or whatever, like, Brandon Ingram, hometown buddy, calls him. Yo, what's up, Brandon? What's going on, man? What's it like playing with LeBron, the king? You imagine what he would say. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, a lot of fun. Sure. Yeah, a lot of fun, right? Yeah, he gives us dirty looks. He doesn't talk to us. He wants to trade everybody. He never put the rumor out about Walton wanting Walton gone. And, as you know, I'm not going to blame LeBron for this, even though I sort of do with the Davis stuff, because it was his jackass agent that came out and publicly did this, right? They didn't handle this well at all. And they put themselves in this position.
They didn't have a choice, though, right? Like, they were Hail Mary situation. They needed to get it done by this trade deadline.
Yeah, so they tried to force – Yeah, they tried to stronghold the Pelicans into this, right?
Like, that's right. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, they did.
So it backfires.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, they're so public about it. So the thing is, it adds up. They were so public about wanting Paul George. You know what I mean? They were pretty vocal a couple of years ago about DeMar DeRozan. Oh, DeMar's from L.A. This big fantasy about Kawhi Leonard dreaming of playing with the Lakers. You think, dude, Kawhi Leonard has the ball in his hand more than Allen Iverson does now. He's like Kobe Bryant now, dude. He's totally different. He ain't playing on the same team with LeBron. They're the same player.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not. It's like Kawhi, it's about Kawhi. And it's the same thing. Like, you know, so they keep setting themselves up. And you remember, it was crazy. Remember Magic Johnson said last year, if I can't get big names to come here next year, I'll quit and step down. Remember he said that?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't really, you know, they didn't really stock the assets the way as well as they could have. You know, Lonzo Ball probably being the key misstep. If they had had a player like Jason Tatum,
even De'Aaron Fox,
great call. If they had someone in that. With number two pick that year in what was a pretty stacked draft, if they had grabbed someone with that two pick that they could have had a little bit more, you know, a little bit more of a shiny piece to be the center point of the trade so that the Pelicans ownership could go to their fan base and like, look, we got a budding young star. Like, this isn't the end of the world. You know, like, definitely renew your tickets for next year. Like, you know, if they had gotten somebody of that.
Clearly didn't think Lonzo Ball was that guy.
No, and who would? Who would? Yeah. What have you seen from Lonzo Ball? Like, absolutely nothing. I mean, I think
I know.
Of the guys.
Second overall pick, though, in the draft, right, last year. And they're like, nah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nobody – every time the Lakers want to do a deal, they're always, and Lonzo Ball. And other teams are like, no. Like, we're not taking Ball. And Ingram is starting to freak people out a little bit. I wonder about Ingram. Like, is Ingram – I mean, people thought of Ingram as a potential, like, megastar, you know, next Kevin Durant. There was a little bit of a project in him, but the development, the next step hasn't really been there. Yet I wonder, I mean, the Lakers really are a dysfunctional team to be around, right? I can't imagine their practices are the healthiest and just the atmosphere is the best around them. So, I don't know. Maybe he is better somewhere else, but, you know, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, to be honest with you.
Well, one of two things happens at this point, right? And I mean, it all kind of starts tonight, right? They're in the Garden. They're in Boston. You know, clearly Danny Ainge was sort of the key power player on the other side of this Anthony Davis trade that prevented it from going down, right? Like, he was out there, you know, specifically pushing the guys in his, you know, in his
which
circle.
Which means now Jason Tatum has this hanging over his head. Now Tatum has this. Exactly.
Yeah, of course. And oh, by the way, every other major player in the Eastern Conference just made a substantial improvement to their roster at the trade deadline.
Philadelphia?
Celtics did nothing.
Whale Capper? How's Philadelphia doing? Tobias Harris? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
great. Yeah, that was
great move.
You know, great move for them. They're going to have an offense that is going to keep them in games against some of their teams in this league now. And Toronto bringing in Gasol is a nice piece. You know, I think and the Bucks getting Mirotić. If Mirotić is healthy in April, Bucks are going to be an absolute handful. Like, that guy can ball. And it's Celtics. Meanwhile, you've kind of completely stirred up the chemistry of a locker room that was already volatile because you introduced Kyrie Irving and Hayward back into the mix this year after you have all these young guys take them to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And it's been an impressive job by Brad Stevens getting those guys to play together to this point. But now what happens if it all kind of falls apart? I can definitely see it. And I think it all starts tonight. You know, does LeBron take this out on the Celtics? Does he, you know, go nuclear on this team as some sort of revenge? And then do the Celtics respond knowing that their time might be over?
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk about tonight's NBA games on the other side of the break with Whale Capper.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with Cam Stewart. Whale Capper with us right now for another segment. So let's jump in, and we've talked football throughout the football season with Whale Capper. Speaking of football, Whale, are you going to be taking a look at this new Alliance of American Football League that kicks off this weekend?
Oh, I'm already ankle deep, buddy.
Good. Nice. Well, I didn't want to put you on the spot because I already have some picks too this week.
Birmingham Iron unders this year, man. They are going. They have an offense that looks like they're going to be stuck in the mud. The defense heavy team unders on the Birmingham Iron for me. Give me some and on the flip side, give me some overs with the Orlando Apollos and the Arizona.
Hot shots.
Hot shots.
No, they're the favorites.
They're the favorites
to win the league.
So is Birmingham Iron? They're going to be the worst team in the league. They're horrible. They're the last pick on the board with Memphis 10-1.
Oh yeah.
All right.
The roster. Memphis's team is Singletary's team. They're probably a good underlook as well. But the Iron looked like they had the worst roster, if you ask me. See, old ball coach is coaching the Orlando Apollos. Steve Spurrier. How about that? How the mighty have fallen. My goodness.
He's doing it for fun. I'm looking. We'll give the picks, but I'm looking at the Atlanta Legends plus the 5 points at Orlando. Aaron Murray's the quarterback, former Georgia Bulldog. He's a pretty good quarterback, actually.
Michael Vick is good.
Vick is the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Legends. I think that I don't like Garrett Gilbert all that much, a quarterback for Orlando. And I think Spurrier's offense will be tricky to learn out of the gate. Plus 5 points in an inaugural game. The San Diego Fleet, they really seem to be the ones that the odds makers, they're down in a 10-1 range as well. They're going into San Antonio in the Alamo Dome. San Antonio don't have any other football teams and stuff. They'll be more into this. Like, the crowd's going to be raucous. Dustin Vaughn, former West Texas A&M quarterback, he's on the Dallas Cowboys roster for a couple of years, actually. He's the quarterback there. And, Darryl Moose Johnson, former Cowboy, he's the general manager. They look like they've got a decent thing going in San Antonio, actually. Mike Riley is the coach, Cam. Oregon State, Mike Riley.
Yeah, I've always CFL. Liked Mike Riley. Good guy.
He's coached in every league now, almost. Yeah, CFL, exactly. College, NFL, AAF. As Will Capper mentioned, a Memphis Express and the Birmingham Iron. I think Memphis plus the points are worth a look in that game. And then we got the Hot Shots, only laying 3.5 points on Sunday Night Football. So, yeah, I'll be betting all these games. You know, we'll take baby steps out of the gate, but as it continues, hopefully we can get more knowledge and depth about the league.
Yeah, let's see. What are some of the wrinkles that come into handicapping the point spread? There's no extra points, right? You have to go for two?
You have to go for two. Yeah, there's no kickoff. That's about it.
No kickoff. That's the only two major ones? Okay.
There's field goals. Okay. You know what I mean? You kick field goals.
No yeah, there are kickers on these rosters, I saw.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, yeah, you got to go for two every time. I believe the play clock is 35 seconds instead of 40.
Okay, so a little higher pace. Okay, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, a little quicker pace, exactly. But not, you know, they need time to let those fat guys get back to the line and stuff, right?
Oh, sure. I can't imagine these are the world's best athletes out there. That's for sure.
The only gimmick,
definitely going to be interesting.
I was going to say, the only gimmick really is there's no since there's no kickoffs, there's no onside kick like late in the game if you're desperate. So they have like a fourth and death type of deal where you get the ball at fourth and 10 on your own 25-yard line. And if you get the first down, the drive continues. So that's what they replaced. Yeah.
It looks like ties are in play, too. It looks like there's definitely a high likelihood of ties if it goes to overtime. They just each team gets four downs at the 10-yard line to score a touchdown.
At the 10-yard line, huh?
Yeah, high school rules. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, no, let's talk NBA, man. NBA is worth popping right now. It's
all right.
It's,
so
you know,
tonight,
you know, don't. Yeah, yeah. The we were talking a little bit about the Lakers.
So well, LeBron, they lost by 42 the other night. How do they respond? All the kids now know they didn't get dealt. It is what it is. They got to suck it up. You're in the NBA. It's a business. I understand their frustration just because LeBron's such a dick. But let's just call it out for what it is. You know what I mean? But
of course.
You know, I understand. But at the same point in time, it's like, listen, kid. Like, if I was their agent or whatever, I'd say, listen, you're on the LA Lakers. You're in the NBA. We'll get you out of here in the summer or whatever. You know what I mean? Just shut up and go play. But how do you think they respond? And listen, Boston have actually quietly won 5 games in a row and 10 of the last 11, to be honest.
Yeah, they've had a little bit of an easy stretch on their schedule. They have, you know, I give them credit, kind of more credit at least, sort of the December time window. They were playing against some better teams and they were performing pretty well. Lately, they've just been beating up on some of the cellar dwellers, some of the tanking teams. And I think, I legitimately think that LeBron props are worth an overs on LeBron props are worth a look tonight.
Because he's so pissed off.
We know he kind of had.
Right?
Yeah. Not just because of being pissed, but like, I mean, you know, LeBron in the Garden, like he loves to hang one on the Celtics crowd. There's nothing that makes him happier.
Yeah, he doesn't like him.
He does not. Yeah. No, he has a specific spot in his heart where he likes to bury these guys in Boston. So it'll be interesting.
And plus,
let's
be real too. Yeah. Everyone, no one wants to play with him. Whitlock's talking about how he's an only child. That's why he's a jerk. You know, like his own team. Like, basically, he knows. I mean, look, the other night, the players only stuff on TNT, even they said, you know, LeBron's got to sort of stop, like, trying to dictate things and just let things ride a little bit. And, you know, that's not a good look for him. Coach Nick that I was with, got all respect with, had on the show the other day. He goes, man, that was high school Bush League stuff, him sitting on the bench there. It is a bounce back for him. I mean, he has been called out in the last day or two. And, you know, he's got thin skin and he thinks he's the king, right? He's royalty.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure he considers himself the greatest of all time.
26 and a half points is his total.
Oh, boy. That seems very gettable. I mean, you know, the risk is that he is not 100%, you know, game shape from his groin injury. But I think he's had this one circled, and I think the events of the last 48 or so hours would probably expect to see his A++ level of effort for 4 quarters here. Even if the Lakers are getting beat in this game, I would expect LeBron to show out and put an exclamation point on this. And you know, and what do we talk about if we're talking about the Celtics from a weakness? They have amazing team defense, but they do not have a stopper for LeBron. And, you know, as we went into this season, I was much, much higher on the Raptors than most people because I was like, I'm looking at Kawhi Leonard and I'm looking at the defensive capability of the Celtics. And I'm like, why are the Celtics favorite? Who in a 7-game series, who is stopping Kawhi Leonard on that team? I just don't see it. They don't have the bodies. They don't have the strength. I think LeBron gets whatever he wants tonight.
What do you think, Whale Capper? I was going to ask you about the interesting line movement here. Pacers opened at 4, up to 7 against the Clip joint, down to 6. Now, that's a lot of points. Like, since Oladipo's been out, I know the Clippers made a lot of moves and stuff, but laying 7 with the Pacers at home, that's a recipe for disaster.
You would think, I get what you're saying. Clippers have completely reshaped their roster. Tobias Harris is gone. I'm expecting Gallinari is still out with injury. They're going to have a very, very lean team, having just turned over a whole bunch of pieces. And I actually think if you look at how the Pacers you know, how they performed after the Oladipo injury, the first handful of games was a dumpster fire. Like it looked like they were like, oh, our season's over. No motivation, no energy. Nobody really knew their roles. Everybody was looking around at each other like, are you going to be the offense tonight? Who's supposed to be the offense now that we don't have, you know, VO? And then on the last two games of their road trip where they were trying to figure out their identity moving forward post Oladipo, they finally started putting things together. And then their first home game last game, we were just talking about it, was the 43-point victory over the Lakers. And so I think the role players for the Pacers have all kind of figured out exactly what they need to do to be complementary pieces. And at home, especially the Pacers role players and the guys that are, they're going to be counting on to fill up the score sheet. They perform a lot better at home. And I think 7 points is probably a bettable number on the Pacers in this spot.
Will Capper, we've got about 2 minutes left with you. We'll let you get back to monitoring Californians' lives after this. interesting game tonight, San Antonio Spurs and the Portland Trailblazers. Popovich waved the flag last night. Didn't play DeMar, didn't play LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan. Got blasted by Golden State. I think it sucks. You know, they do that in the NBA so often. The old load management, they call it this year. I just call it screw the fan management. But I get it because it's tonight's against the Blazers, and it could actually be tied with the Blazers later in the year for tiebreakers, etc. But a couple of stats that I see here in numbers, the Spurs are 8-1 to the over in back-to-back games this year. And yeah. Popovich often doesn't play the starters in the first one, so it shows the fresh legs, you know, coming off a blowout. You know, DeRozan and Aldridge going to be pretty fresh tonight. We saw Miami and Portland real track meet the other night in the Pacific Northwest. And this series also 8-2, the last 10 times they played, these two teams have gone over the number. A lot of points on the board. The music playing with 10 seconds, Will Capper, over under in this game.
I like the over. I got the over circled in this one. And I think we see a pretty spectacular offensive showing from both teams.
Whale Capper, find him on Twitter, whale_Capper. We know you're a busy man, Capper. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye, guys.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, levels have been better, Yang. Thank you. Thank you, George Yang. Thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, love it.
Need some auto parts. Hook up, look at our friends over at O'Reilly.
Yeah, I just bought a used car, so I wish there was an O'Reilly around here because I could really need some auto parts. Got a gas gasket leak, Gabe. Not cheap. Don't want to call Uncle Sam for a loan, you know. I got a lot of things happening. Money hard to come by these days. Yeah, yes. You could say financially, yes. It's not going.
Yeah, a lot of problems. All right. Hey, so we mentioned earlier, Frank Robinson passes away at the age of 83. First African-American manager of Major League Baseball. The only player to win the Most Valuable Player Award in both leagues.
Correct.
Pretty hardcore, and so he was with the Expos. I'm seeing a lot of pictures of him right now. A lot of younger shots of him, 1935 to 2019. So, first off, he had a hell of a run, right? I mean, look, he lived 83 years old. I'll take 83. You know, I hope I can make it to 83. Oh,
definitely.
I'll take it. You know, I wish I did a little longer. Well, we'll see what we feel at this point in time, but. I'll take it. So he had a hell of a run, ton of great major accomplishments, and, you know, somebody who was basically like, you know, 14, 15 years old when Jackie Robinson was doing what he's doing. So, you know, sort of a direct benefactor of Jackie Robinson breaking through. And then just, you know, what an accomplishment, though, being the most valuable player in both leagues. Never been done in the history of Major League Baseball before. When they've been playing baseball a long time. First African-American manager. He was the manager of the Expos. When Major League Baseball took over ownership of the Expos for like the last 2 years type thing. And they made Frank Robinson a manager. Like, they hired him. Like, no one in Montreal, like, Major League Baseball was in control of the team. You know what I mean? Omar Minaya was the general manager, and Frank Robinson was the manager. So they got put in place, and I was covering the Expos. And, you know, Frank was a pretty surly guy. Like, you know, being real, like, he was very – he really didn't like a lot of people. I'll put it that way. Like, he was very impatient, and, you know, he basically thought everyone was kind of an idiot because they didn't see what he seen. You know what I mean? Think, Cam. He grew up a black guy in 1935. You know, he went through, and, you know, like, a lot of crazy racist
stuff. He lived a tougher world than a lot of people.
He lived a tougher world.
He had to deal with real stuff.
And then he became – he became sort of like a, you know, an iconic player as well. But he was kind of, he was also like, he didn't like the younger players either. Like, he thought that they were crap. You know what I mean? He didn't think that they knew the game. And, you know, so he really was one of these old school type of dudes. But he asked, so basically, so you know, managers do like weekly radio shows. And when a weekly radio show, really, it's they call in for 15 minutes and they call a show, right? Like when DeMarco Murray was on the Dallas Cowboys, oh, in Vegas, the DeMarco Murray show. It was really somebody, Cofield was in Vegas on the air for 30 minutes and he'd call in every week. But you're able to sell it as the DeMarco Murray show, etc. So same thing. So Frank Robinson. So they tell Frank Robinson, basically, listen, can you come on once a week? Every Friday morning on the afternoon show or the morning show and basically, you know, take a couple of questions from fans, calls, and, you know, stay on for like an hour, it was, or stay on for like 40 minutes, I think, type thing. And he said, oh, yeah, sure. And he goes, so they're like, so what do you want to do it? And he goes, I want, so this is at the time, this is like, you know, 10 years ago. So TVs were more important then, basically. So he said, I want a big screen TV. So they're like, okay. So behind the scenes, they're like, you know what? Whatever. He wants a big screen TV. You know, fine. Get him the big screen TV. So they get a big screen TV, and they deliver it to him. And he's like, what's this? And they're like, it's a big screen TV. And he goes, no, I want a big screen TV. Every week I come on.
Yes. Yes. I love his negotiation. No, not one.
Yeah, no, really. Like, and like they were like, what so are good. You insane? You, and he goes, no, he not. Goes, he goes, I didn't ask you to do this. You're asking me. Yeah. And then he went into F y'all. I don't need this. And then, like, right from the start, Cam, like, that was his introduction to the official radio station. He basically told them to blow, like, he basically told them to F off. He basically said after, like, I don't even want to do it, so I don't really care. Like, keep your TV. Like, he basically, you know, so it was really funny. And I thought it was really funny, but they were like, man, this guy's a jerk, man, you know, in real life. So I got along with him. Like, you know, for some reason, he liked me. So I used to show up. I love my job and stuff. So basically, batting practice was at the room would open at 3 o'clock to the media. The stadium, like, you can show up at about 2:30. You know what I mean? You could show up earlier, but generally, you know, you get there about 2:30. But basically, like, at 3 o'clock, 3:05 every day, Frank Robinson would have a little like media meeting. Either in his office or by the batting cage. They'd have the batting cage up and stuff on the field.
Yep.
And I used to, plus I was poor, Cam, right? And I loved it. It was my first, you know, I was new in the media. I'm doing baseball. I'm like, this is, you know, I thought I had the greatest life, even though I was poor at the time, of course, right? So so I used to show up early to eat, essentially. like to raid the press box. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, great spreads. Great spread.
Yeah, so I was like,
you're like the Kazakhstan guys at Leaf games,
yeah,
stealing the Haagen Dazs bars. Seven a pop.
Yeah,
their
yeah.
parkas are full.
Dude, I used to stuff like 60 little packs of that Decker Black Decker cheese.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's
the cracker
amazing.
Barrel.
Good cheese. Yeah. Cracker barrel. The individual. Sometimes crackers. Yeah.
I'd stick potato chip bags in my bag.
Oh,
you
yeah.
name it, bro. Like you're not supposed to
battle
broke, right?
So it's like I've done it. We've all done it.
And they used to sell in the press box like the meal, but it was only like $4.99 or something. So I used to bring $5 and I'd spend, you know, get the nice meal, and then I'd just eat junk food all day for free and all night. So
load
I used
up.
To get there all the time and I liked it. So I used to was always on time, dude. All right. So Frank liked it. Like Frank was like, man, you're consistent. Like he looked at me once. There I was, like every day type thing. Hey Frank, hey coach, hey Skip. And so every day. So one day I'm late and stuff, all right? I get there at like 3:40 or something. I walk on the field, but I'm not panicked. I'm late. It's not even my job to be in the scrum. I just went there to get information. I was so gung-ho and like to be so prepared, you know, for the post-game show. I knew everything. Oh, I talked to the manager, and you know what I mean? So I walk in once at like 3:40, 3:45, and I see everyone. There's like media sitting around and everything. And they're sort of like, I don't know, what's going on with Frank and stuff. He didn't do his scrum yet. He sees me, and he goes, "All right, now we can start."
That's amazing.
And in front of it, then and in front of everyone, he goes, "Yo, man," he goes, "Why are you late?" He goes, "I notice you keep getting here later and later." He's like, "Do I need to fine you?" He starts like, he's got a straight look on his face and stuff, right? He's like. He goes, "Man, you used to be so gung-ho, and, man, you were so on time." And Leah goes, "Now," he goes, "I start to wonder about you." He goes, "I'm really starting to wonder about you." And my mother, may she rest in peace, she went to Hong Kong, and she got me a fake Rolex cap. Okay? So it said Rolex on it and everything. Okay?
Oh, nice, nice. He thought you were a heavy hitter?
So I'm holding, like, the mic up, and he's ribbing me about being late and stuff. And he sees on my wrist, like, Rolex. And then he stops. He's like, whoa. He's like, he goes, let me see this. So he goes, "Where'd you get a Rolex? You steal a Rolex?" And he goes, "Let me see the Rolex." Right away, it's in his hand, right?
Yeah.
And right away, he's like, "This ain't no Rolex." He's like,
"Rolex?
This is going to burn my hand just touching it." He's like, "What kind of chemicals is this?" He's like, "Look, the gold's rubbing off." Like, he starts, like, going into it and stuff.
Amazing.
And then Cam, he takes off his Rolex.
Oh, no.
He puts it in my hand. And he goes, "Son."
He goes, that's
a real Rolex.
Exactly.
He goes, "This is a fake Rolex." And without missing a beat, Cam, you know what I said to him? The exact same thing you probably would have said. "Can I have your Rolex?" He told me, "Try it on." He goes, "Feel what a real Rolex feels like." So everyone's like kind of looking, but not everyone's laughing because they don't really like me in the media. They're jealous that Frank likes me like this. You know what I mean? So he goes, "Try my Rolex on." So I put his Rolex on. And I'm like, "Oh, feels good, Frank." I'm like, nice and light. I'm looking. I'm like, "Wow." And I'm like, "Can I keep it?" He's like, "Hell no, man." He's like, "Give me my watch back and stuff." So I got along well with Frank Robinson. And there were people on my radio station. Now, listen, Frank did once fall asleep during a game, okay? It's going to happen, Cam.
Yeah, but,
you know, the guys.
Hey, baseball can get pretty slow, and he's older.
He's 73, 74. Listen, I've seen Gibby nod off for 3 seconds.
I don't fault him. I've seen guys sleep. That's fine.
So... Whatever. He closed his eyes for a few minutes, and it was a brief, like, two-minute type thing, and the pitching coach sort of nudged him, you know what I mean? So, plus the team was crap. But, of course, like, a lot of kids on the radio, guys on the radio in Montreal, like, ripped him and stuff. "Oh, he's falling asleep. He's a big jerk." They didn't like him because he was mean to everybody. And but he told me, he was like, he goes, "You know why I like you so much?" He goes, "You say crazy things about our team on the radio." He goes, "I hear what you say on the way home." But he goes, "At least you got the guts to come into our clubhouse every day." And he goes, most of your coworkers are cowards. And that's what he told me. He's like,
most of your coworkers
are cowards. He goes, they all run their mouth. They all say, they all talk shit. And he goes, I don't even know what some of them look like because they've never been here once. And he goes, at least you're here every day. That's what he told me.
Excellent point, Gabe. Excellent point. Same thing with me. When I did the Leafs show, I had to go in that room, and none of the players would talk to me afterwards because I was real. Then the jerk-off that I'm working with, this guy gets to do whatever, never shows up in the room. I had to get all the clips. And that's the difference, man. Nobody's going to want to talk to you when you do that. So I'm glad that Frank gave you respect because, man, it was hard. Why do you think I hung out with the goons and the fourth liners? They're the only guys who would talk. Good luck getting a quote from, like, a guy who's, like, a main guy in the team. They'll dart the other way, right? That's cool that he gave you respect there and you showed up. That's old school. I like
you know, I like me too. Well, it's Frank too. Frank knew everybody, dude. Like, it was pretty nuts. So, like, he's from the Bay Area, you know? So he's like, he's a legend, like San Francisco Giants and stuff, right? And of course, so he's a Bay Area. He was a Raider fan. And so not only is he like a Raider fan, but he was good friends with Al Davis. So basically, he starts telling me about how Al Davis, one of his best friends.
Amazing.
Like I said, like Frank's a prickly guy. So, of course, his friend is Al Davis, right? You know what I mean? And Bill Cosby.
Exactly.
So, like,
weird
so Frank's like, yeah. He's like, one of my best friends is Al Davis. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, wow. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I was in the press box. Or he goes, I was in the owner's suite for a Super Bowl once with him even. That's how tight they were. And he was telling me about how he was there with James Garner of the Rockford Files.
Nice.
Like stories like that. He's like, yeah, it was me, Al Davis, and, you know, the guy from the Rockford File, James Garner. He's like, James Garner is a big Raider fan. So I'll tell more about Frank. So Frank Robinson was the one, too, when Michael Jordan started playing baseball. It was the same era then. And it was just me and Frank in a room. And he goes, you know why he's playing baseball, right? I'll share it on the other side.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Notice, Cam, life doesn't get easier. Like somebody told me once, my uncle, who I don't talk to anymore, he said, you know, the best time of your life will be like between like 45 and 55. I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's why you don't talk to that guy. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
It's like everybody dies. You start to have health issues. You have a midlife crisis.
Money, you have no savings. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Life's
it's
great.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Like, it's like, exactly. Like, life somehow, it's just like there's more problems. Like, you know.
My best years like, were when I was working at a golf course. Teenagers. I was cleaning rich guys' golf clubs. I had money. I didn't have to pay rent. You know, my parents would go away. We'd have parties at my house. People had sex. Those are the best years of your life. Come on.
I remember, dude, I was in my mid-20s. I was in the Bad Homicide. I was living in these, like, sort of dumpy apartments and, like, places by the Olympic Stadium. I'd sometimes start drinking at, like, you know, 1 p.m. type thing. You know, like, I didn't, like, I had nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had nothing to do and nowhere to go. You know, I'd have to go to a music rehearsal or I'd play a show every now and then. But for the most part, like, about for 2 summers, Cam, and it's funny. At the time, I remember, like, I sort of hit rock bottom. I was like, all right, bro, like, you're full out just sort of, you know, this is bad. You know what I mean? Like, your life is out of control. You know what I mean? You're barred from, like, you know, every bar in the city. You're persona non, you know what I mean? Like, I was a nut job. I was, like, sort of like a Sid Vicious type. I was just like a mini hurricane everywhere I went. And At the time, after I was like, wow, man, that was a pretty crazy couple of years of my life. And now it's funny. I think back to those days and I'm like, you know, it wasn't that bad. Like, I used to wake up. My biggest problem was like, oh, I only have $40 to go to happy hour with. I'd go sit on patios. Like you said, I got laid like four times a week. Like every night I had a new chick. You know what I mean? Like, it was actually like, yeah, I was like, oh, that was really a crap life. Now it's the bottom like emails, line is, phone calls, payments.
You're still getting
this, that.
Still,
like, I feel like
you still go to the bar. You still go to the bar and get yelled at. So what's changed?
Yeah, exactly. And now I don't get laid. So it's like, yeah, an old lady. I'll tell on the other side. An old lady in the hospital. When I broke my foot, I was in like the old people, broken bone. Some lady told me, you know, I can get older, things only get worse. And she took a drink from a flask.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You got it, Yang. I got your news, buddy. The NBA wheeling and dealings big time today. The trade deadline over, but lots of big moves. The Toronto Raptors getting involved today, getting Marc Gasol in exchange for Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, C.J. Miles in his pajamas, and a 2024 second-round draft pick. That Raptors defense now legit. Gasol, 34 years old, a three-time NBA All-Star Defensive Player of the Year in 2012-13, and in 53 games this year, averaging 15.7 points, 8.6 boards, and 4.7 assists. Also 34.4% from three-point land. The Raptors sending Greg Monroe to Brooklyn as well. The Sixers have been the busiest team around the deadline. They got Tobias Harris the other day. Today they ship guard Markel Fultz to the Orlando Magic. The Sixers receiving Jonathan Simmons, a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Fultz was the first overall pick in the 2017 NBA draft. The Pelicans didn't trade AD, but they've traded forward Nikola Mirotic to the Bucks. Good move for Milwaukee there. New Orleans going to get big man Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, and four second-round picks. Anthony Davis not dealt. He says he intends to play every game for New Orleans this season after not being traded. News from Knickslands. They're going to release Enes Kanter there. That from ESPN. The Knicks also going to grant Wesley Matthews a buyout. They plan to keep DeAndre Jordan. That's a good news for Knicks fans. Matthews expected to sign with Indiana after clearing waivers. Updated future odds. We have the Warriors 2-5, Celtics 10-1, Raptors 10-1, Sixers 10-1, Bucks 10-1, Rockets 12-1. Those are the top five in the NBA futures. We got a six pack of games tonight. Clippers and Pacers. Pacers minus 6.5, 216 is your total. Minnesota and Orlando Magic minus 2, 215.5. Toronto taking on the Atlanta Hawks there. Raptors 8.5, 234.5. Old rivalry back. LeBron James, Gabe, talk about it. Might be pissed tonight. Boston Celtics minus 8.5 against the Lake Show, 227. Memphis and Oklahoma City Thunder, big favorites, minus 14, over under 213. And Portland hosting San Antonio Blazers, 5.5, 226. Some sad world from the world of baseball. Frank Robinson has passed away at the age of 83. Frank was MLB's first black manager and is the only player in MLB history to win MVP awards in both leagues. That's a big loss today. Stay tuned to the network. Greg Gabe's got some great stories for years hanging around Frank in Montreal. Also, the Phillies have landed all-star catcher JT Realmuto. The Marlins, in return, get catcher Jorge Alfaro, two pitching prospects, and an international bonus spot. Texas has signed Hunter Pence to a minor league deal today. NFL news. Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray will attend the NFL Combine. Still no decision on NFL or NBA, but the list of athletes is made, and the Combine takes place February 26th. He's the ninth overall selection in the 2018 MLB draft by Oakland, won the NCAA Heisman Trophy with a stellar year with the Oklahoma Sooners this year. Pat Mahomes not going to be playing pickup basketball anymore. We talked about that. He had some crazy moves on the court. His agent says, well, slow down. The Chiefs management a little bit scared about their investment there, so no more hoops, but it's not in his contract. NCAA top 25 tonight. Number 12, Houston at UCF. Cougars minus 2 on the road, total 132. Number 25, Cincinnati at Memphis. The Bearcats are minus 4, 150. Number 20,
20. Iowa at Indiana. Hoosiers minus 2.5 in that game, 149. And fourth-ranked Gonzaga hosting the San Francisco Dons. Zags minus 18.5, total 150. Gabe, we got a great leaderboard at the PGA's Pebble Beach. You couldn't expect this one. Listen to this. Jason Day leading at 6-under. Jordan Spieth, 5-under. Dustin Johnson, 5-under. Phil, 5-under. Wow, Brendan Grace, 4-under. Lots of all quality at the top of the leaderboard right there. They're playing three courses, Monterey, Spyglass, and Pebble Beach. Huge NHL sked tonight. We got 14 games. Five games get going at 7 o'clock. Carolina at Buffalo. Canes minus 15, over under 6. Pittsburgh and Florida. Pens minus 130 on the road. Total 6.5. And a battle of New York teams. The Devils hosting the Islanders. Islanders minus 140 in this hockey game. And Corey Schneider back for the Devils. Not sure if that's a good thing. Total in that game, 5.5. We got tons of late action, too. We'll go over every single game for you on Game Time Decisions in the DFS Hour. We got all sorts of fun stuff coming up. So keep it here locked on the network. And Gabe, just for you, the board, too. We have this new football league. It's going to keep kicking off on Saturday. So, guys, if you want to get some futures in right now, we'll take a look. The Alliance of American Football odds posted. Arizona Hotshots, plus 275. Salt Lake Stallions, 4-1. Orlando Apollos, plus 450. San Antonio Commanders, plus 550. Atlanta Legends, plus 550. The San Diego Fleet, good name there, plus 800. Lots of boats there and Army personnel. Now, Memphis Express, 10-1. And the Birmingham Iron, who Whalecapper says are really going to suck and play a lot of unders, they are also 10-1. So keep it locked here on the Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network here. Gabe and myself, we got all sorts of stuff coming up. Betting, tons of games in hockey, basketball, and the NCAA tonight. The DFS Hour will give you a couple lineups and a whole lot more. So stay tuned right here. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game Time Decisions.
No rest for the wicked.
No rest. Two,
Game Time Decision. Ready, great radio, Fantasy Sports, and Radio Network. Yeah, I'm saddened by the passing of Frank Robinson. You know, no one lived forever. But another person, you know, part of my life, another person I've learned from, actually. I've noticed that. Like, a lot of people that have passed away are sort of people, like, you know, my grandfather, my father, then, you know, I was very close to Ted Teeven, you know, like an older guy that I don't really like have a lot of people to talk to, or like, you know, career stuff, just shoot stuff off of. He used to call me, and that was a good show. You know what I mean? I was listening. Like, Ted, you know, or tell me about sponsors. Don't do this. Ted was the one. Don't do contests. It's good for the station. It's good for the listener. But what does it do for you?
Bad for you.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, then I had Earl de la Perelle. You know what I mean? Who, like, you know, sort of people I didn't want to disappoint. Like, you know, everyone, I have no one left, like, not to disappoint left. You know what I'm saying? Thinking about Frank. And, you know, Bill Cosby's in jail now. And... you know, Bill Cosby's not very young either. He's kind of older, too, now. But right now, Bill Cosby's going to be rattled by this, even though he's in jail. Like I said, him and Frank were pretty tight. Over the years. Like, Bill Cosby came and visited him in Montreal and stuff. And so he was friends with Al Davis. And he was telling him about the Raiders and stuff. And he said, he's like, oh, yeah, Michael Jordan playing baseball, not because he wants to play baseball, but because he was betting on basketball.
he needs money.
he goes, come on, man. He goes, it was after the Pete Rose stuff, too. He goes, they don't want to have, like, a Pete Rose thing there. And he's like, why would the greatest player ever in a sport come to play a sport that he's terrible at? Right? And it was pretty crazy. So Frank was a big golfer, too. So I remember we were talking about, he said baseball is the hardest sport. Because, you know, people are saying golf is hard. And it was funny. He goes, man, the golf ball doesn't move. He's like, a baseball is moving. He's like, true. He's like, trust me, it's harder to hit a baseball than a golf ball, he was saying, right? But it's one thing true. I learned from him the most is, like, just sort of being in a clubhouse and, you know, being around an old grumpy guy. It's a good guy to learn baseball from. You know what I'm saying? Like he was real old school, so everything was sort of like he knew the sort of unwritten codes of baseball and all that. And it was funny, he was the one that told me that there was no unwritten code of baseball. Like the Expos stole a base. What, they were up like 8-1. They stole a base. Dusty Baker flipped me. You asshole, Frank, going off. Dusty after said, you know, there's no code. And he was basically like, have you seen my bullpen before? He goes, of course I tried to score again.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Radio. Toronto Raptors were in the news earlier in the week, and we talked about how, you know, Kyle Lowry kind of took it in stride and said, oh, it's all kind of a business and you don't know what's real and what isn't. And so when it's all said and done, it looks like the Raptors just wanted to get Marcus Gasol out of this. And I think Memphis were trying to beef up the deal. Memphis were trying to trade Mike Conley to a bunch of teams. And I think they threw Kyle Lowry's name out there to try to get Ricky Rubio. Like, that was supposedly they were trying to get Rubio from Utah, and they were trying to get, you know, they were trying to beef the deal up. So anyways, Raptors, you know, listen, Marcus Gasol is a hell of a defensive player, Cam. He's a defensive player.
Sure is.
He's a big dude. He is a very good player. He is better than JV, sort of. You know what I mean? JV's not a good defensive player. He's a better offensive player than Gasol is. But JV is often injured, right? That's a problem. JV is often injured. CJ Miles didn't really fit in.
No, he didn't. He's doing more commercials. Like, you know what I mean? Like, CJ Miles is more like a friendly brand guy with his PJs commercial and this and that. Like, he was just kind of like a friendly guy that never really – I'm with you. Like, you
DeLon Wright.
That
I like DeLon Wright.
I like DeLon Wright, DeLon, too. He's going to get better.
DeLon Wright, this still. Is for – like, this – it's actually better for him. Like, if you're DeLon Wright, this is not a bad move for your career, actually, because you were sort of buried on the Raptors. You're a good player, but you've been on the Raptors long enough now that you can see where they view you. You know what I mean? Like, you're behind Van Fleet. You're number three on the depth chart, essentially. And, you know, your minutes are sporadic. Sometimes you'll play more or less. He never really settled in. He is a good player. If he's on a team where he can get some more minutes, it's actually better for his career. And listen, Gasol has a player option after. It's very interesting. You know, the Raptors are all in right now. They're the best defensive team in the NBA now, the Raptors. There's no disputing that. Like, nobody has anything close to what the Raptors will present as far as being a challenge to score on them. Like, they, dude, it's going to be a load. You got Kawhi Leonard, who's the best defensive player in the league. You have the defensive player in the league in Marcus Gasol, who's just a big, thick dude in the middle that's impossible to move. You got Serge Ibaka that people are generally scared of in the NBA and don't really want to mess
with. That's the thing.
Because
he's lock
just
guys
so
down,
massive.
Gabe. And Gasol's still good. Like, he'll still get you points. I love the playoffs. They have to
get
tougher.
I was thinking about it, too. It's true.
Like, it's
very
good.
He's scoring
good.
15 points a game on Memphis. Memphis suck. He doesn't have anybody.
Yeah.
Now he's actually, you know, he's capable of scoring more, actually, even.
Big time.
But he's not really going to be asked to. Siakam is a very pesky, scrappy guy to play against. It's annoying to play against. And Danny Green's one of the best defenders in the league. Like, their starting unit really is suffocating defense. The problem is if they fall – and Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's a good defensive player. I was really hoping they'd just bring in a three-point guy, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're missing – to me, that's the one little thing. If the Raptors fall behind by 12 points or something – who's the one that can light it up and hit a couple of threes to get him right back in it? That's the problem to me.
Kyle Korver? I don't know. They need.
Well, he killed us all the time.
Yeah, he did. I know. I'm just thinking of you need a type of player, just a streak shooter. Like that's the thing. You got enough defense now. Now it's all about the offense. We'll see. They can win with that defense, though, Gabe. And I think you bring up the best point about the Gasol deal. That's the thing. This guy was on Memphis. He could still, with that offense, think about the open looks and all the stuff he can, knocking down shots. Also, a decent percentage from three. It's going to be way better with the guys that they have on that team. They're going to be a load on both ends of the floor, man. That's a big, nasty lineup there. I like it.
NBA. Right now, actually, I saw futures up earlier in the day. I'm seeing they're sort of off right now, Cam. The books have taken them down right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, up and down. They were up before. That's when we got them. Yeah, yeah. They're probably did some more readjusting. But Golden State, when I was doing the update, from the time that I had them there, these are the ones that I got right now. But Golden State was basically 5-2, obviously. So minus 250. Like, they're obviously 2-5. Celtics, 10. Raptors, 10. 76ers 10. Like, these might go, some of them might go to like 8, and then a couple other to 12. Bucks 10, Rockets 12, Thunder 16-1, Nuggets 30-1.
Yeah, no, that's all the ballpark here. I saw the same things. It's interesting that Boston's favorite to win the East ahead of the Raptors and the Sixers, and even the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm with you. I think out of those two teams, who are the, I think the Raptors and Bucks are better than the Celtics and 76ers.
Thing is, the Sixers are really good. So. The Sixers are good, but they can't beat the Raptors. The Raptors will beat them. The Boston Celtics have a lot of chemistry problems. I called this too. Danny Ainge has put one too many spices in a great soup, Cam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He had a great thing going, and he just kept adding. Nice, Hayward, tasty, Kyrie Irving.
Too salty now. More. Too salty. Too salty.
You put too much in. and now the whole thing is, too, like Boston, Will Capper brought it up. So Boston want to get Anthony Davis pretty bad, all right? They're in on this. Thing is, of course, Anthony Davis' father said he would never play there because of blah, blah, and I wonder how they treated Isaiah Thomas, but things can change. And they're dangling Jason Tatum. They're willing to trade Tatum for Davis, and that's why the Pelicans wanted to wait. Like, people think Tatum, dude, is like a star, you know what I mean? Like, superstar. And, you know, we saw up last year he was kind of in the making as a rookie, but I said this would happen. You got Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward there. They're going to stunt his stardom. You know what I mean? You got a second-year guy that was just used to everyone being out last year, and he was the man, and he was damn good at it. Like, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum got into the Eastern Conference Finals, Cam. And then they're like, wow, now we got Hayward, we got Kyrie Irving, and we got Al Horford and Terry Rozier. It's too much. And Kyrie Irving's a free agent. They all know it. He gave him the old, I don't know anything to anybody the other day after telling him that verbal commitment crap when everyone knew he was full of it then a couple of months ago. And now Jason Tatum knows that whatever, Danny Ainge is willing to send me away, right? Like, it's a weird dynamic with the Celtics. But with all that stated, I think once the playoffs start, it doesn't matter if they're all sort of dysfunctional. They're pretty good. You know what I mean? And Kyrie Irving is going to step it up in the playoffs. And a guy can single-handedly win games. Like, he can get hot, man. He's a dangerous player, bro. Like, the Celtics are a dangerous team. Like, the Eastern Conference is going to be a bloodbath, bro, to get out of that. Between Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, and Toronto, it's a bloodbath.
Remember we were talking? Wow. I remember we had this conversation before when we were still at the old studio. It's like, wow, when LeBron goes, when it was the offseason, when LeBron goes to the Lakers, it's going to be great for the Raptors in the East. We didn't see this with Philadelphia getting Tobias Harris and that building their team into a big four. Milwaukee even getting better. Jimmy Butler going there. We didn't even see that one coming. Milwaukee getting better. They got great chemistry on that team. They made a great move today. Mirotić, like, that's the thing. Like, you could talk about it. The East is wicked now. Like it's the top-heavy teams are loaded, like loaded. It's crazy. We thought, oh yeah, LeBron goes away, it's going to be great for the Raptors. Look at, there's just more grenades in the field, man.
No, it made it worse, actually.
Teams they got to beat. They actually did. It made it. That's the whole crazy thing. It's actually worse now. Like, there's some damn good teams.
And LeBron's probably thinking, man, I wish I was still in the East, actually, now.
Yeah, exactly.
Life's not as much fun in the West, although his lifestyle is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's part of why he went there, you know?
That's the thing. And there was another story today. I didn't put in the update because it's not a real story, but they make stories out of everything now. But he got an asked interview about, you know, your commitment to winning and stuff like that. And they talked about the Patriots, but his answer is basically like, yeah, you know, when I quit doing what I'm doing, I'll just retire. Like if I see problems with my game, I'm done. And you talked about it a while ago. This guy's going to be doing movie deals. He's going to be involved in commercials, other stuff, hell, still doing Sprite and everything else. One day he's the type of guy to just say one day when he's not feeling it, say, okay, I made my money. Great. Hollywood, welcome me in. Let's move to phase two of my life. He's that type of guy. He'd do it.
I'm sure he'd like one more. Listen, he's got one run left in him. I'm not discounting LeBron James for the rest of his career, but
no,
it's going to take. It's not right in front of him. Like there's a lot of work that needs to be done with the Lakers, and a lot of things need to happen for the Lakers to be real contenders.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Precision, Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabe Morenci alongside Cam Stewart. Thank you to Whale Capper for joining us earlier. We'll have a mystery Daily Roto guest. I'm gonna guess Drew Dinkmeyer.
I'm going to say Sanders today. I'll go with Sanders.
Maybe we should start betting on this stuff.
Yeah, might as well. Make things interesting. I'm just watching the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Huey Lewis just chipped in, man. I just saw that guy, man. He looks like a Sasquatch. He's got a beard cooking now. Like, I want a new drug, man. That was a great shot. Yeah, he looks pretty beat down.
Makes me feel good.
Good. Yeah, Brent Snedeker's basically in the ocean right now. That'll be a fun shot trying to get it over the rock. Yeah, yeah. Huey Lewis, yeah, good golfer.
I want a new drug.
New drug, yeah. Want a new drug.
They have to have another song.
One that won't make me sick.
What's some of
their
other?
It's the power of love, dude.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
That's the power. Yeah, can you feel it? You know.
They're one of those bands that even, like, nobody, it's hard to, like, say, they suck or dislike them. It's like,
happy to be stuck with you. You know that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
to be stuck with me.
But I want a new drug is, that's the hit.
Yeah, that's kind of like, that was their, like, big, like, I want a new drug, yeah.
There was a lot of, good song. Like, in that era, there was those guys, remember Men at Work?
Men at Work, yeah.
Yep. Couple of massive songs, then just sort of, you know, faded off. Who can it be now?
Who can it be now? Yeah, I like that. That's good stuff.
Jay Giles, another one.
My angel is the centerfold. My memory has just been sold. My angel is the
All the same era.
I listen to a lot of that cheese, man. Like when I listen to Q107, they rock that stuff hard.
Exactly.
It's very non-offensive. Like it's just like it's on. You're like, yeah, that song's all right. It's not like you know, it's just you don't get sick of it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that was like. It's like, that was like FM rock at the time. Exactly. The other one, too. I remember every time I hear the song, it always makes me think of that, the same era. Like, I don't remember, like, school much, like high school. I don't have, like, a lot of high school memories. I don't know if I've deleted them or I didn't go. I got kicked out so often. But, like, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't have, I don't have a lot of memories, but I vividly remember. I remember there was this girl that sat right beside me. I got along with her sometimes. Sometimes I didn't, type thing. You know what I mean? You know, she was kind of like an uptight. She was kind of cute, but her friend was kind of really hot. Like, they were kind of the uptight girls. But her name was Valerie. And I remember that freaking song, man. It played all the
Valerie,
time.
Valerie, can I be Valerie? Me. Come and see.
I'm the same boy
I used to be.
I used to be.
Yeah, that's Steve Winwood.
I used to like, I remember.
I remember
telling her.
That's a good one.
I remember telling her that. I was like, every time this song comes on,
I think of you, Valerie.
I told her it pisses me off. I said something like, at the time, wasn't getting along with her. And years later, years later, still every time I hear that song, I always think of her and her hot friend, Katya, her friend.
Yeah.
Was, like, she, her friend, her that friend song was cute, on. Actually, but.
Yeah. It was so cold. I had to start the vehicle the other day. That song was on. I love that tune. I like it. Yeah,
still playing.
Steve Winwood, he's all right.
Another song. I remember them all. Another song from that era was "I Am the Eye in the Sky, the Maker of Rules. I Can Read Your Mind."
Your mind. That's a nice song.
Alan Parsons Project.
Project. Great tune. Great tune. Yeah. That's a nice song, actually. I can read your mind. Yeah, they don't play that one as often as they should, actually. It's nice when they do the 80s lunch and stuff sometimes. I get all
that. And then, of course, the classic Asia. Do you remember when we used to dance? Dun, 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 dun. It was the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all that. That's all like circa... like 80 to 82 type thing. You know?
Good times, though.
Early
times were
early.
It
80s.
Was like a party time. Drugs were flowing. People were happier. You know, money was there. It wasn't like before grunge came in and things got like really depressing. That was like kind of times where people were like, yeah, you know, things are good. But kind of went.
No, those days were still bad. I'm being serious. Like overall.
Okay. Really?
Like, well, like
not,
in
not
the,
compared
like,
to the 90s.
No, like, you're basically... No, 90s were better, Cam. Like, basically, like, the 70s were a shit show. Like, after Nixon, like, Gerald Ford, his State of the Union in, like, 76, basically, when he came out, and he goes, the State of the Union is not good. Like, imagine a politician saying that. They'd never do that now.
That means it's really
like,
bad.
Yeah, like New York, you know, like, the economies were bad. New York was, like, the Bronx Zoo. It was crazy violent. You know, there was a lot of murderers around, like, you know... People think there's a lot of murder in the U.S. now, but not like there was. Like, it was over the top, and it was really like the mid-'80s. The mid-'80s. Like, people, you know, Reagan and stuff, things got a little better, but it was really Clinton, really, like the economy and stuff. It was tech stuff, Cap. Computers, you know what I mean? Apple and yuppies.
Yep.
These are the people that have buried us and put us in debt, too. Baby boomers.
Yeah, you bring up good points. It started the problem.
All the deficits and debt and credit card, all that stuff that they racked up, we paid a price for now in interest rates and non-belief and you know, everything. They basically just sort of destroyed the world and racked it up on their card and know they're going to die. we'll be left behind. But I hear what you're saying. It was a funner time for you because you're a kid. You know what I'm saying? In the 80s, but
correct. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying
well,
economically wise, yeah. Things
my
were
brother's
good
older
80s,
than me.
You know?
Yeah, no, my brother's
older. They got old, better in like, the 80s.
Yeah, he's way older than me, right? So I got all his influences. Like when he was listening to all that music, my friends were listening to like the mini pops, and I was into rock and roll and stuff, right? Because my brother used to give me his albums and stuff. Like these kids that I was
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
What are you guys listening to? I'm listening to rock and roll. Yeah, what are you listening to? Like the Pac-Man soundtrack? Like Get It Together. Yeah, so my brother had a lot of music.
That's
cool.
I went into the Kmart. I went to the Kmart on 34th.
Kmart Kresge. Yeah, I went to that Kmart too. It was right by my hotel.
Kmart, yeah.
It's there. I know.
Yeah,
it's right by the Modell's, right next to it. Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Okay, so I noticed it.
Cheap prices. Great prices.
I needed a pillow. I figured they'd have it. They did. So,
of course they did.
I went in there to Kmart, and they have everything, but not a lot of selection of everything in that place. So it's like, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, do you have boots? Yeah, like those two types. Like, you got pillows? Yeah, those two types. You know what I mean? Like, everything was sort of, all right, that or, like, expensive or, like, really cheap. So, but I went in there, and they were playing, like, Christmas music. But, dude, it was the Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas record.
Yeah.
So, like, at first, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird and funny. But after like 10 minutes in the store, dude, of like the Chipmunks,
annoying.
Like, do, 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 like this. And I was like, holy crap, like, this is going to alienate shoppers, man. Like, you can't be like cranking Alvin and Chipmunks all day, but it must be working for them. But I did get a laugh out of it. Like, so they do the Christmas song, and then the voice, Alvin!
Yeah, that Kmart was weird.
When I was a kid.
It's a weird one, though. Like, I walked in there, and it's, like, different levels, and it's almost like going into a time machine.
Down.
That's the thing. Yes. It keeps on going down. And another thing is they have products that are kind of, like, they're in boxes, but they're very old, like popcorn machines. And like, even I was looking at the logos on stuff. I'm like, these guys basically got stuff from a factory, like, 10 to 15 years ago. No, I really paid attention when I was there. And then there was a lady, like, signing people up for, like credit cards. I asked her, how's it going? Like, nobody, like, she hasn't talked to people in weeks. Like, you know what I mean? It was a real weird setup, like, with the staff in there and the products. It was just almost like going into a time machine, going to that Kmart. Very odd.
There's actually a grocery store, like, at the bottom of it. But yeah, like you said, there's dust on things in there and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Big time.
It's like a clearance Kmart, but I don't know. It's a strange, like you said, it's a strange store. Like, it's hard to describe. It's strange. There's a lot of people in there, though. Like, it seems to do okay because it's right on 34th Street in Manhattan. But I don't go in there. I don't go in there too often. All right, so we'll take a couple of phone calls. 844-843-6879. We haven't heard from Big Card Julio in a couple of nights. Post Super Bowl.
He had a couple soccer picks. He said he was playing it soft the other day. Remember, I actually came back from Vegas. You brought up a good point when he was talking to us. It's like Julio had kind of like a good brainwashing. Like, he kind of got I don't know what happened down there, but he's really being more selective with his plays. Really cutting the fat in the diet, you know?
So that happens when you're putting real money on at the window.
Yeah, correct. Very, very true. Very true.
Suddenly the units, like... Basically, I told people, like, when people are betting on credit, they bet eight times more.
I could even
like,
say
up
even
to
yeah.
eight times
yeah.
more.
Even way more. Like, you can even do when you have a lot of credit, even more than that. But, yes, that's absolutely true. You don't even think about it till it's over. Like, when you're betting on credit, it's just one of those things mentally. You have no idea. And then you look at numbers and go, oh, God. Like, it's – that's I love it. Betting on credit's a disaster. Something you gave me that advice a long time ago, you know. I always like to have an extra account in case I have a golf future that needs to be hedged, but it's one of those things. You don't want to have too many of those things lying around because it's bad for your financial health. Let me tell you, personally, it's a nightmare.
Well, the thing is, there are no locks. Like, we always say that, right? But there are no locks. Like, we can think this and that and everything else in between, but... There's never really a lock. So when you're on credit sometimes, you figure, oh, I'll take a chance and I'll put $4,000 or whatever. But, you know, if you're paying cash, you'd probably put $1,000. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It changes. It's the same thing with credit cards, though. You know what I mean? People shop more and buy cars on credit, houses on credit they don't have. Right? They don't, you know, then they're in debt forever. So, whatever. Instead of owing the credit card company money, you just owe a bookie money. But it's better to owe neither of them.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Ready Rage Radio continues, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. taking a look at Pebble Beach right now. The leaderboard is an interesting one, as Cam brought up earlier. Some familiar names lurking and lingering right now. There's also some surprise names at the top of the board right now. So number one, first place. Well, we got two guys are T1 right now. Fabian Gomez, Cam. Fabian Gomez.
Yeah.
Unless my memory serves me incorrectly, I don't recall that we talked about Fabian Gomez yesterday.
We did not talk about Fabian Gomez. No, he was not mentioned on our DFS squads. Fabian Gomez, no.
No six
Nor
packs,
did we.
12 packs,
no,
24 packs.
Nothing.
No.
It's early. It's early, Marenzi. We didn't talk about Scott Langley either, but don't worry about it. We'll be okay.
Yeah, Scott. Who the hell is Scott Langley?
He's okay. He'll fade. Don't worry about these guys. That's the thing about why do you think Mayo and all those guys, like you bet these first-round leaders at like 100-1. It's a really good bet. Because a lot of the time, it's not a big name.
Yeah,
roll the
dice.
If you look at the first round of a golf tournament. Yeah, hey, Gribble. You dribbled. Oh, yeah. CG, Cody Gribble. Don't got him either. Jason Day, we talked about.
Jason Day, we thought. Yeah, we thought that he was legitimate. Phil Mickelson's lingering.
I'm all on Brendan Grace. He's T6. Your boy Lucas Glover. Bowl cut. Spieth is, what is Spieth, 5-under? Let me see what.
Yeah, I was
going to
click
finish 5-under.
But the problem is, I missed out, and this morning when before I clicked, it was 12-1.
Yeah,
22-1 was better.
Sure was. Spieth T6. Yeah. Dustin Johnson 5-under. See, if you got Dustin Johnson, you started 5-under. You're like, okay, that's great. You know what I mean?
I do
like,
have
he's
him, yeah.
He's 5-under. Yeah, exactly. That's good. Spieth, who else do we got here that we talked about? Bo Hostler, T7, he's 4-under. Like a lot of our guys are doing pretty good, so it's not a bad start.
You know who did not have a great day today? Adam Hadwin.
Hadwin, I know. I was looking at that. What is he, 1-over? He got to even, I think. That's not too bad. Okay, at least he saved it. He was 2-over at one point. Yeah, he'll get better. He's fine. He's fine. If the leader's only 7-under... I told you to fade Cam Champ. He's 1-over, so that turned out to be well a good matchup bet. Yeah. And actually, you know who I'm disappointed with? Tommy Fleetwood. He's T128. He's 2-over. That's pathetic. I didn't see that one coming. But Brendan Grace is good. So
JG.
My bad for Tommy Fleetwood.
I've got
Sean O'Hare's already
withdrawn.
How's Spawn doing? I think he was 2-over.
Terrible. He's T128, too.
Oh, brutal. Yeah, 2-over. That's not going to get it done.
You know what? Adam Schenck is only owned by 2.8% of people in my pool here. But, yeah, he's actually he shot 70.
He's 1-under.
1-under, 70, yeah. T66. He's lingering. Malnati, not so great, T91. Dustin Johnson. My team blows. But I bet on – I have Spieth and Johnson, but I bet on Dustin Johnson at plus 550. So Spieth was nice at plus 1,200, but I got Justin Johnson at plus 550.
Listen, I'd rather have Dustin Johnson than anybody in this tournament right now. And I'm going to go check out my sites. You go to live betting. It doesn't matter if those other turkeys are at 7-under. He is the favorite right now. Even with Jason Day at 6-under, with him being 2 shots back, it'll be him and Day. We'll be at the top of the leaderboard for live betting. Guaranteed. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I can guarantee you that. He's 2 shots off the lead, Gabe, and you know what he can do at that course. You're in the horse race. You got out of the gate clean. You didn't get clipped or anything like that. You're making a nice move coming around the turn, just at the pace horse and ready to make your break. That's where you are with Dustin Johnson right now. No problemo.
Oh, no, exactly. He's right. He's right poised to strike. In fact, he's still the live in-game favorite right now, plus 400. Jason Day is plus 500. Jordan Spieth is 12-1. Phil Mickelson, 12-1. Gray 16-1, Kuchar 28, Finau 28. What's Finau up to?
3-under. He finished 3-under. He bogeyed the last hole too. He was 4-under, so he is T29.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
Actually.
No, he's lingering.
Some guys with some pretty low scores. So, what's the deal though? Did these guys play on one of the harder courses? It was like there's three different courses, right? Is this a harder or easier one today?
I think Spyglass is the hardest. So that Fabian Gomez, the guy who's T1, is doing very, very well. I would say Monterey is the easiest. That's where Langley is. That's where Phil is. That's where Jason Day is. Where is, let me see, Dustin Johnson. What course did he play today? Yeah, Monterey. MP's the easiest course. Pebble Beach, I would say SH, Spyglass Hills, is the toughest out of them all. Pebble Beach is the most scenic, but I would rank them as Spyglass, Pebble, Monterey. That's like for scoring. So that's a pretty good round by Fabian Gomez there. Very impressive.
I used to want to always play at Pebble Beach.
Me too. I don't know. You know much? I had buddies who have money. Their dads own like trailer parks and stuff like that. They went down and did that California thing where you play Spyglass or whatever. Yeah, they told me like the whole
20
trip
years ago
with golf and everything. It was like $5,000.
Yeah, for the trip. Yeah, I was gonna say though for a round, we could look now. Like it's a public course, right? Like you actually can't play there. So
yep.
I remember it was about 20 years ago when I was golfing more, and it was like $650 then.
Yeah, it's probably close to $1,000
for a round. Yeah, it's probably. I know though, like a lot of these bigger courses, the public ones, have lowered their prices. Like look in Vegas and stuff, you know, like Steve Wynn, you know, you've got a great golf course.
Because nobody's playing those. Nobody's playing.
Exactly.
Right?
It's like when we're in Vegas, it's like, oh, I wouldn't mind playing around a golf in that great thing behind the hotels on the strip. Then you find out it's like, you know, oh, it's $900 for a round plus rental, $300 for the club, plus this fee and that fee. It's like, all right, dude, that's why every time I pass your golf course and I can see in on the SkyTrain that there's no one on it. Right? There's no one on it. So I read a story about how like a lot of these even big name golf courses have actually like lowered the green fees and stuff because less people are playing golf. Like the little Tiger boom is over. You know what I mean? Like even me, I played in the Tiger boom camp. You know, there's no like golfer that people are running out to public munis and playing golf because of now. You know?
Nope.
Jason Day's a good golfer, but no kid in Montreal right now is like, oh, let's go out to the links and play some night golf because, you know, I watch Jason Day on TV. Like, there's no, like, golf has sort of hit a little bit of a wall for the, like, you know, it's around the world. There's more foreign players that are coming in. And, you know, it's just the reality of it, you know. A lot of golf courses even, Cam, sounds pretty crazy, but they're going to, they're allowing, like, frisbee golf and stuff on their courses.
Yeah. Well, think about a golf course and how much property it takes up. Land is worth so much money, right? If you don't got guys playing there, you're done. Like country clubs and stuff, when you have annual membership and stuff like that, those are the guys that are fine. They're raking it hand over fist. You spend money there at the restaurant and stuff. But when you're just independent public courses on big plots of land, it's a concern, and they're going to have to drop their fees. You know, it's a rich man's game. And I got to be honest with you, with Pebble Beach, sure, I'd love to go. I'm not good enough to play there. Like, to be honest with you, like, it would be one of those things, like, I'd have to play almost the ladies' tees to enjoy it. You know, I couldn't play, like, regular tees and stuff there.
Oh,
like, I'm
not good enough. I know.
Like, I used to be good at golf.
And
I'm not
to
now.
Be
like,
honest,
I'm a realist.
Exactly.
I'm brutal. Like, I'm not good enough
the Marshall,
to be playing.
The Marshall would be up our ass so much there, bro.
Oh,
be, like,
yeah.
We'd be holding ridiculous people up. Like,
we go to Scrovey's course and blaze one. You know, that seems like more our speed.
There'd be a bunch of, like, executives from AT&T playing with Jim Nance behind us. And
I know. Hey, guys,
we're looking
you guys
for
suck.
Our ball in the bush somewhere. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, shut up, Nance. Give us a second here, okay?
Balls dude, I told you, I actually played. I played a course. I told you the course, El Diablo. It's the Devil's course.
Well, that's a course of
El Diablo.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Freddie Couples designed it. It's in Quebec, and they played the PGA Skins there. So they played like big time guys. You know what I mean? John Daly and Ernie L. Tiger, whoever the hell it was. It was like major guys. It was a big deal. It was in Montreal, and our station basically, you know, used to do ads for the golf course. So, you know, that's the one good thing about AM radio, right? Those little perks and stuff like that. So basically,
yep.
He was like, all right, you idiots, to me and another guy, all right, you idiots. You want to go butcher up a pro course? Go ahead. Here's the pass. You know what I mean? So we had the pass. We go. Steve Rapp was there too. And so we went, we played, and it was the next day, Cam, literally. Like, so we went on the Monday morning after it ended on Sunday. So the grandstands were still up. It was 100% like playing a PGA course. And I wanted to tee off at the women's tees because I'm not an idiot. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm man enough to admit. Like, I can't. Dude, I'm, you know what I mean? It's too long. Like, this course, I'm not, you know, it was too much. But so we were playing for money, though. So Steve Rapp's like, oh, yeah, go ahead. But you know what? You want me to go get your purse, too, and your dress? And all right. Yeah. Starts like, you know, be a man and whatever. So, dude, a couple of holes I didn't completely suck at. You know what I mean? A couple of holes I was actually surprised myself. I was like, all right, this is, you know, all right, I'm battling. But by the end of it, Cam, it wore me out, bro. Like,
oh, yeah, you're
frustrated. I literally went through like 11 golf balls. I put like four in a row in a drink. Like, I just dink. Yep. I couldn't get over the water.
You shot like 20 that hole. Yeah, you pulled a tin cup.
Yeah, like, I couldn't get it over the water, bro. Like, but Cam,
so at the Masters,
I shot a 1. Yeah. I shot a 123.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
And, yeah, it was, you know, if I might have been closer to 126 or something. I think it was like, no, it was like a 123. But the funniest part, Cam, is once I drilled one right off the grandstand, like it would have killed a fan, essentially. Like I drilled it, man, and it was gold. Like Rap was even mad and stuff because I got so lucky. It hit the grandstand and rolled within like 6 foot of the hole.
Yeah, perfect.
Like it was like
love those.
Off the aluminum, like right yep. to the grass.
Yeah. Hitting an obstruction right on the green. There's nothing better. Yeah, because it could have bounced anywhere, right? That's crazy.
It's like what would you shoot if you played at Augusta? Do you think if you played the Masters course?
Oh, and counted every stroke, probably 120. Yeah, like yeah. Every
yeah, like I said, maybe, I was at 123, yeah. And I don't even know if I played the 18th hole. I might have quit actually.
We'll see.
Like I was worn out. I was pissed off.
When I told you when I went to cover it, they have a media thing. So when you leave at the end, they draw and you get a foursome at Augusta when it's over. Exactly what you did. And then David Faraday was there that day. He goes, remember that I told you the story? I go, I'm looking for a big fat Scotsman and not you, right? And he's pointing at me and everyone's, ha, ha, ha. They're all laughing. I'm like, yeah, I'm in the international tent. Everyone's laughing at me. We had a high five. We got to know people. You know, you're there for a few days. It was fun. But that guy from TSN actually won. I thought, like, I won. I was like one number off in the draw.
Oh, wasn't it Corey?
Corey Warren from TSN. Yeah. That guy's actually a good golfer.
He's all right.
He was actually. I was one number. Yeah, he's okay. I got no problem with that guy. I was one number off. I thought I won. But, hey, and then, Corey Warren comes in. Hey, I won the media thing. I get to play Augusta. I'm like, oh, God, lucky prick. Like, that guy's actually a good golfer. Like, he's very, very good. So it's better that he got it. But that's the best.
No, I wouldn't have.
So that's what they
it, just because
yeah I would have yeah
just
yeah,
it'd be awesome to tell people you played it right like every Masters you
that's
could say
such a
I
good
play
point.
I know that hole
yeah
I know
I shot a million right I shot a million on that hole yeah I put six in the water there yeah that would have been so awesome
yeah I swear though look at that golf course online El Diablo Diablo
it's the one that and, Tiger Woods said it was
it's
one
a
of
killer
the,
bro
there's two courses in Montreal. Tiger Woods said Royal Montreal was like one of the hardest courses he's ever played in. It's actually one of the only things that he didn't make a cut in. Like
the
he
Royal
got
Montreal.
Scared of that course from the tips. It
I
ruined.
Never
like
there.
He said, I got pummeled there. It's that tough.
Played there.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, we got a quick little mini bridge break to the update here. We'll take a couple of your calls after, we promise.
Yep.
Big Burst
busy,
tuning in.
Busy
yeah,
card.
Is that a Mont Tremblant? Yes, it is a Mont Tremblant. Yeah. Yeah. El Diablo. I think it's Le Diablo. Maybe it's El Diablo. But it's a vicious, tough golf course. That's the toughest golf course I ever played. And that's like the only, like, basically tough golf course I've ever played. I'm not going to say tough, but you know what I mean? Like, They're all tough for me. Like, I've never played an easy. There's no easy golf course for me, but the best.
No, but that's the toughest. Like, that's a pro course.
No, the easiest one, actually, it was called Meadowbrook, and it was in Montreal. And we're talking, like, Muni of Munis, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was no
cow
water.
Pasture.
Like, yeah, it was very, it was like, but it was actually not far out of the city. It was a little challenging at times. There was trees. You had to go over train tracks and stuff. But, you know, I played there a lot, right? So I started to get it down. And, like, that was my best score. I think I shot, like, 93 or 94. Like, I never was able to break 100, man. I finally broke 100. I did it. I did it a few times in a row at that place. Once I shot, dude, yeah, I don't know. Golf's weird like that. Like, once, I swear, Cam, like, I really had, after nine holes, like, I think I was in, like, 42 type thing. And it was really like, I don't know what's going on today, man. But I was actually shooting pars. Like, I birdied, like, the par three. It was nuts. Like, yeah, like everything was working. And I swear to God, dude, like, there's the 10th hole. You got to cross these train tracks and stuff. And there's, like, a little wait. So the train went by. I stood there. I blazed one. I'm staring at my scorecard. Everyone's like, oh, my God, this is the best score I've ever seen you do. First drive off the other thing, man. I put it right back on the other side of the course, like on the other side of the track, like OB type thing. Like, right away, Cam. Like, OB. I was like, well, there goes that. And I swear to God, dude, by the 13th hole, like, I was smashing things. Like, I don't even think I finished.
It happens
round.
Quick.
Me and my buddies would do that often. Like, we'd melt down around the 16th and say, F it, just drive straight to the clubhouse in the cart.
19th hole.